that. But it was a great word, and it was a great segue coming out of this series on spiritual warfare that we were in, and coming into this next series that we're starting today on spiritual gifts. Now, with that being said, if you did not get a chance to pick up one of these little cards, this has all of the pieces of armor that we looked at. We've got some at the information table. You can pick up one for your car, one for your mirror, one for the fridge. Give one to a friend. Someone was talking to me this past week, a couple weeks ago, and said, I gave this to a friend. Is that okay? And I said, absolutely. Take as many as you want and give them away. And so I was thinking that we would have some after service when we passed them out a few weeks ago. And there was like three left, I think. And I thought, well, good. These are meant for us to take with us. And so as we get dressed for our day, so you can keep that with you. But we're kicking off a series today that I've been really excited about getting into. And we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. And the title of this series is called Superpowered. Now, I need to say that right because it's like Superpowered. It's just kind of like, you know, it's just we live in a world where people are looking for the extraordinary, don't we? People, you know, we get on YouTube, we get on Facebook, we watch videos of people doing extraordinary things because we're looking for people who can do extraordinary things. They'll practice and practice, and you'll watch some stuff and you think, man, how did they do that? Well, they practice for hours and hours and hours, and then they shot themselves on YouTube, and we watched this one-time event of something that took hours and hours of practice. But we live in a world that is looking for the extraordinary, don't we? So let me kind of bring this home for you. So we see it all over the place in comic books and TV and movies. We look at these people who we call superheroes, and my favorite superhero, I know we hear about, you know, firefighters and policemen and those who are in the military, and are they heroes? Absolutely, because they lay their life on the line for us so we can enjoy the freedoms that God has blessed us with. But here's this other world. There's this comic book world. My favorite comic book superhero is Superman. Now, growing up as a kid, I remember thinking, how cool would it be to look like Superman? How cool would it be to be able to fly and to have X-ray vision and to have heat vision and to leap tall buildings in a single bound? Look in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Pastor Tim. That's right. Watch out for the kryptonite, which is a great book, by the way, that John Bevere recently wrote, Killing Kryptonite. If you haven't picked up a copy yet, you need to read this book. But I'm not preaching about killing kryptonite today. So Superman, my favorite. Here's another superhero that we've seen a lot of recently, Wonder Woman. There she is. And, you know, I just, man, Superman and Wonder Woman, it's like, how do you get much better than these two? It's like, they're just like the superheroes, superheroes. And then here's another one, Spider-Man. Here's the little Peter Parker doing his thing, being Spider-Man. But see, in the world of comics, there's these guys who are, they've been endued with some type of special ability or special abilities. But in the world of comic books, there's even normal people who are categorized as superheroes. Here's one for you. Look at this guy, Batman. Batman is just a normal guy. Now, if you saw Justice League recently, I'm kind of geeking out a little bit here for you for just a few minutes. So kind of bear with me while I kind of relive my fantasy of being a superhero. So I was watching Justice League recently, and there's a scene where Bruce Wayne goes to get Barry Allen, who is the Flash. You with me so far? Some of you guys are like, "This is." I thought we were going to talk about the Bible today. We're getting there. So Barry Allen is getting in the car with Bruce Wayne, and he goes, "So, by the way, what's your superpower?" And Bruce Wayne goes, "I'm rich." And I was like, you know what? I would like to have that superpower. And so here's another one for you. Check this guy out. Scott Lang. This guy was he's a reformed criminal who's Ant-Man. Here's one more we were just talking about a second ago. Barry Allen, the Flash, struck by lightning and medical whammo, and he's the fastest man alive. So we live in a world who is looking for extraordinary individuals. But I'd like to submit that even in the real world, that the picture that we see isn't much different. Let me explain. Let me bring this home for a minute. We live in a world where people who look who will look for hope will go to a horoscope. or they'll go to a psychic, or they'll do the 1-800, or they'll go online and they'll look. And what they're really looking for is they're really looking for some affirmation, for some direction in life. And what they're really looking for is a word from God. And they are either hearing a word from God, or they're hearing this counterfeit message that says this, that, and the other thing that is not what God is saying at all. Are you with me? So let me bring it closer to home. I've got a brother. His name is Andy. Andy is 6'4", he's a little bit taller than I am. We both grew up in the same house. We both have the same parents. And I've got a picture coming up here so you can look at you can decide who the handsome one is. Andy's the tall one, and I'm the good-looking one there. And we both, pray for your pastor. He thinks he's Superman and thinks he's good-looking. So Andy is 6'4". When I was a junior in high school and Andy was in eighth grade, that's when Andy caught up with me, and we were eye-to-eye for the very first time. And after my junior year in high school, that was it. I was not the tallest Versalono boy anymore. Andy topped out at 6'4". And so let me kind of give you some backstory here. We've got the same mom and dad. We both grew up in a Christian home. We both were raised by the same parents. We were both brought up in church. We were both brought up to love the Lord and to serve Him. But we're both wired really differently. Anybody who has a sibling knows that there's a lot of similarities, but oftentimes in siblings, there can be a lot of differences, some that are really extreme and some that are not so much. Well, Andy has always had great natural street smarts. Ever since I was a kid, ever since we were little, Andy's just, he can walk into a room and tell you what's going on just by walking into a room. He can, this is happening, that's happening, this person, they're full of themselves, and this person over here. That's just how he is. And I've always been kind of like envious because Andy has got great street smarts. I walk into a room when I was younger and I'd be like, somebody would say this, I'd say, okay, let's go do it. And Andy would go, really? Do you really want to do that, dummy? He's just got great street smarts. And so here's an example for you. While I'm starting to tell the story, turn to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we'll keep your finger there in Romans chapter 12. When I was a brand new Bible college student, I was dating a girl at the time, and I was waiting for her to close up. Her parents owned a business. And I was, I'm right home, my first break from Bible college, and I've been in the Word every day, and I'm hanging out with Christians every day, and I'm just growing in my walk with the Lord. I mean, my faith is exploding, and I might not look like Superman, but I feel like him because I'm just growing in my walk with the Lord. And so I'm waiting outside the door of the store that my girlfriend at the time owned, their family owned, and there was a guy across the parking lot. So there was like a road median, those silver road, whatever they're called, so you don't drive off into the road. Thank you. I'm like, gosh, my brain just, whew. I'm just reliving this memory going, wow, I can't believe this. So this guy looks at me, and I'm looking at him, and I just go, he looks at me and he goes, what are you looking at? So I'm thinking this guy was probably drunk. He's pumping gas in his car. And I just go, Jesus loves you. Not bad. This guy looks at me. He goes, what? Takes his hand off the pump, and he starts lunging at me. He's not running at me. He's like across the parking lot, this kind of thing. And he jumps over that guardrail, and my girlfriend sees this happening. She unlocks the door, swings it open, pulls me in, slams the door, and locks it right as she pulls me in. And she goes, he was going to hit you. And I said, no, he wasn't. Jesus loves him, and he was going to protect me. Time will tell. I don't know if he would have gotten one on me, but he did protect me. I had a smarter girlfriend than me, apparently. But anyway, I get home. You're probably thinking, okay, what does this have to do with church? And okay, let me get there. I get home, and I'm telling my family about this, and Andy goes, now, remember, once Andy had this major growth spurt. My brother Andy grew up with a speech impediment, and because he had such a growth spurt, he had a problem with acne, and so he stuttered, he had acne, he had to wear orthopedic shoes when he was little, so Andy grew up with some challenges. Well, he used to get picked on all the time, but when Andy discovered that he was tall, gone were the days of my brother getting picked on. And so Andy comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, Tim." "Yeah, Andy." "Do you think if you saw his picture in the yearbook," because I saw this guy, he was wearing a jersey of where my brother and I went to high school. "If you saw his picture in the yearbook, do you think you could point him out?" I'm like, "Yeah, I probably could." I should have seen what was coming. So I'm, you know, flipping through the yearbook and I'm looking at the pictures, and the guy played football, and I go, "Oh, that's him right there." Andy goes, he calls his name. "That's him." I go, "Yeah, that's him." He goes, "Okay." He shuts the yearbook. I go back to, you know, finish that semester of Bible college, and I'm in my dorm room, and I got a call on the payphone because, you know, nobody had cell phones in 1988. And if you did, it was like, you know, the size of a house. And so he calls me, says, "Tim, you'd be proud of me." And I go, "Okay." I got it all taken care of. And I go, "Andy, what are you talking about?" And I'm thinking, okay. Now, my brother Andy, he's got a lot of things figured out, but when he was younger, he was really trying to, you know, figure out who am I. He goes, "Well, remember that guy that when you were over there at the shop and he came at you?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I got it all taken care of." He goes, "I had a friend who owed me a favor." I'm going, "Andy, what did you do?" And so he tells me what happened, and I'm just like, "Andy, Andy, Andy." So even though we had the same parents, Andy had some friends that were a little on the sketchy side, and this guy owed him a favor and put this other kid in the hospital, and he's like, "You don't mess with Versalonos." And I was like, "What if this guy comes and finds us?" Anyway, so here's the story. Here's the moral of the story. Don't make people mad if you have a brother who's super protective of you. Okay, so but we grow up in the same house, and we have the same parents, but there's different things that work in our lives together. I'd like to submit another thought to us. There's this phrase that I've said over the past year that we've been here, and you've heard me say multiple times. The phrase sounds like this: practice makes permanent. Would you say that with me? Practice makes permanent. Practice doesn't make perfect, because there's not a single one of us who are perfect. I will never be a perfect piano player. I will never be a perfect pastor. Sorry if I just bursted some of your bubbles, but I will never be, because I am so far from perfect. So please just continue to pray for me. But practice makes permanent. Now, I know like 2 or 3 chords on the guitar. If I were to go and grab Pastor Greg's guitar and start playing it, you guys would look at me and say, "Pastor, just put that down or give it back to Pastor Greg. He knows how to make that sound good. You're just bad." But if I were to get behind the keyboard, it'd be a whole different story, because I've practiced on the keyboard. I can play with my eyes closed. I know multiple positions of chords. I know my scales. I know my fingerings, because I've practiced my rudiments. I haven't really practiced to make permanent skills permanent on the guitar. Does that make sense? So I could get on this right now, and you would be like, "Hey, that sounds halfway decent." And I would say, "Thank you." But if I got on the guitar, you would say, "Put it down. You're bad." And I would say, "Thank you for your honesty. God bless you." So the more we practice, the more confident we become. But our confidence is not in ourselves as believers. Our confidence is in the Lord and what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. See, I hope that 20 years from now, I'm a better preacher than I am today. I hope that 20 years from now, I'm a better pastor. I hope I'm a better husband. Why? Because I've had 20 more years to practice, built on the almost 30 that I've had. I want to be excellent at what I'm doing. I'd like to submit another thought to us today, because I want to talk to us about being super powered by the Holy Spirit in our life. Is it possible that the world is in the shape that it is due to the fact that much of the church has lost its power? I think that'd be a pretty safe assumption. Could it be that the church isn't practicing? Now, I'm not talking about Laconia Foursquare Church, because we've got it figured out. We're good to go. Onward and upward, amen? We're growing and we're going. Could it be that the church isn't practicing the presence and the power of God when we gather? Could it be that the church isn't expecting to be stretched and to grow when we are together? Could it be that the church is just expecting to hear some nice music, a motivational message, or in some places all you get is a nice talk? I've been to some places where I've heard a nice talk where my life has been touched, but it wasn't transformed. My prayer is that when you come here, that you don't just get touched, that you don't just get the, oh, warm fuzzies, and Jesus is so good and he loves me so much, but that our lives are transformed, because it is only the transformational power of the Holy Spirit alive in us that will change our broken world. That's a good place to say amen. See, I think that, let me take a step back here. We were at the pastor's conference this past week up in Niagara Falls, and it was a powerful time. Praise and worship was great. The messages, it's like they were being preached, and it's like there was nobody else in the room, and they were preaching it to Tim Versalono, because I just needed to hear what the Lord was saying. One of the speakers, his name is Dr. A.J. Swoboda. He pastors a Foursquare church in Portland, Oregon. And he's telling us a story about a young man who came to their church. And he had attended a mainline church down the street. And he was a young gay man, and he started coming to Pastor Swoboda's church. And so he's talking to him after service. He said, okay, so let me just ask you, why are you coming here? Because the message was much different. And this young man told AJ, he said, I'm coming here because I never heard Jesus preached at my church. I'm coming here because I was never confronted with the possibility that there's something in my life that might need to change. And I get that here. My prayer is that when we come here, that people always hear Jesus preached. That when you go from this place tomorrow morning, whether you're up at the crack of dawn or before the crack of dawn, and you get in the car and you go to work, that people see Jesus in you. They see Jesus preached through you. I pray that when we get around people, that people can't help but notice and say, what is it about them? It's because we've been with Jesus. It's because he wants to make us super powered. See, I believe that when people darken the doors of a church and when people come around us as believers, I think that people want to be touched by something that's extraordinary. Tell the person next to you, you are extraordinary. You are extraordinary. Not in ourselves, but because of the fact that Jesus loves us and he says, I want to reach people through you. See, and speaking of practice, my three kids, you guys have heard me share before. Shay was a cheerleader in high school. And anybody who thinks that cheerleading isn't a sport, oh, man, they do stuff in cheerleading that I just go, how did you do that? You know, you watch them and they throw the flyer up in the air, and the flyers, man, they go, you know, 10, 15 feet in the air, and they catch them, and they do flips and cartwheels and turns. And Shay was never a flyer, but she had a specific thing that she did. She was a spotter. I think she was a spotter, yeah. And she was in the back, and her part of her job was making sure the person up on top was sturdy and stable. And so could you imagine if all they ever did was practice and never went to football games and cheered for the football team, or they never went to competitions? How exciting would that be? I'm just going to go practice all the time. And they just sit on the bench. Where's the cheerleaders? Oh, they're just sitting down. They're just, you know, they just practice. That's all they ever do. Casey was a volleyball player. She didn't just work on drills. She didn't just go in and out and rotate for the sake of doing that. She learned how to jump. She learned how to spike. And, man, when she put a nasty spike on people, you better believe her dad was over there going, ooh, because that was my baby girl who just practiced, because practice makes permanent. Jackson, you just heard Pastor JJ share a little bit ago. He's up in Minnesota, and he's finishing his senior year, and he's playing hockey there. If all he ever did was practice drills on the ice and never had a chance to touch a puck and take a shot, where would the fun be in that? But see, what happens in the same thing with us as believers, how many times do we not even get to the point of practicing? We just come to church, and we just sit here. We never get involved. We just never get plugged in, and we let somebody else do it for us, and we're not even practicing. And when it comes time for us to get into the real world and people are looking for extraordinary things to happen, we just go, pass. Because we haven't practiced. Can I just give you some great news? This is a great place to practice. Because we're all friends and family here. You may not know everybody in the room, but that's okay. We're all still friends and family because we're the family of God. Tell the person next to you, we're family. We're the family of God. See, we don't just practice to compete. We're practicing to win. I've heard people say, it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I want to win. I hate losing. Did you ever walk? I mean, could you imagine the worst motivational speech? Hey guys, we may win today, we may lose today, but it's all how we play the game. Could you imagine last year when whatever that team is? No, just kidding. When the Patriots went to the Super Bowl, could you imagine Coach Belichick? Could you imagine him walking into the locker room and saying, "Okay guys, here we are. This is our 500th Super Bowl. Big deal. If we win, great. If we lose, great. No big deal." His players would probably run him out of that locker room and say, "Get out of here." Their conversation beforehand was probably something that sounded like this: "Guys, here we are again. It is an honor and a privilege to be on that field representing New England. You better get out there and play your backsides off, because if you don't, you ought to be ashamed of you." I don't know what it sounded like. We know what happened. They won the thing. They did win, right? Yeah. Oh, no. That was, what was it, last year? Or the year before? 2 years ago? Did I mention that Gus kept me up all night last night and I got about 3 hours of sleep? And that I'm really not, I wore Shane's Patriot jersey last year, but he asked me if I'm getting ready to wear it again, and I said, I don't know. I might be gifted with my own, thank you. But, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Let's go and turn into Romans chapter 12. I'd like to take a look at some spiritual gifts, because over this next several weeks, as I'm digging myself out of the New England Patriots hole I just dug myself into, I'd like to look at some spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, and I'd like to read verses 6 to 8, and we'll look at a few other passages as well. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 12 and then also Ephesians chapter 4. Because over the next several weeks, we're going to begin discovering, God, what have you put inside of me? Some of you may already know, this is my gift. This is what God has given me. There's different mixes of gifts that God has given us that we're going to look at together. Romans chapter 12, this is not the full unpack today, because today is just a brief overview. We'll look at over the next several weeks. So Romans chapter 12, excuse me, verse 6 says this: "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." So here we see this list of seven gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit has put inside each and every single one of us. You might look at that and go, "Well, I don't really know if I have any of those gifts." The goal is that we're going to discover, Lord, what have you put inside of us, and how do we begin to then practice what you have given us so we become more confident in what you have given us to minister to other people, to minister to us and through us. So prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. Now, I'll just give you a little snapshot into my life. Of those seven gifts of the Spirit mentioned in Romans chapter 12, the primary one in my life is mercy. I am a mercy-motivated person in pretty much everything that I do. Now, as a pastor who is mercy-motivated, that can work really well together, because you want your pastor to love you. You want your pastor to ask how you're doing and pray with you and see what's going on in your life and how we can laugh together, cry together, live life together. I've been around some pastors who aren't mercy motivated, and I just go, "Oh, okay. I mean, next." For me, this is how the Lord has wired me. Now, JJ is not really, she's got mercy, but her primary motivation is much more prophetic. Let me give you an example. When I was younger, a younger pastor, I would, you know, come to the point where I would need to have a conversation with somebody and talk to them about hard things, because that's what we just have to do sometimes. Sometimes we have to have hard conversations with our kids. Parents know what I'm talking about, right? And when I would talk with people, sometimes I would just kind of go around the mountain and say, "Well, you know, how you doing? What's happening in your life? And, you know, maybe if you think about it, you need to maybe kind of, you know, look at praying a little bit more. And maybe if you kind of, you know, just think and ask the Lord, he'll just kind of reveal to you what's going on in your life." And at one point, JJ said, "Honey, you have got to stop beating around the bush and just be straight with people." And I'd say, "I know you're right." And it felt like it took me forever, because I didn't want people to not like me. Because we are all born into a world that's broken, aren't we? And what happens is that brokenness sometimes becomes part of our life. And so I didn't want to hurt people. I didn't want to offend people. I didn't want to let them down. And I didn't want them to like me. But what I just began to discover is that I was doing more damage than good, because I wouldn't just say, here's what you need to deal with. Let's pray. Because I would just kind of beat around the bush. Does that make sense? See, so mercy can work really good in one hand, but it can be a real detriment in the other if you don't step up and say, okay, I am going to present what I got to present to you in a merciful way, because I'm not the kind of person who's going to go, bam, and smack you upside the head with something, because that's just not how God has wired me. Some people have said, you know, just hit me with it. And I go, well, I'm going to give it to you how God wants me to give it to you, and then you deal with it how God wants you to deal with it, because the Holy Spirit's really good at working all that stuff out. So this is what Romans chapter 12 talks about. Now turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Reads this way, and it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, or some translations say a word of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. That was the one that my brother had and still has, that discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I want you to say those last two words with me. Say, he wills. Here's what this means. I can look at this list of things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life, and I would look at it and say, you know, I really want to have the gift of faith. I just want to have that supernatural faith. And God may say, you know, that's not how I've wired you. That's not the one that I want you to primarily function in. There's been times that I've had faith where I've got faith, and I just know that I know. And people could say that this is going to be this way, and I'm going to say, nope, it's not. Like when JJ was pregnant with Shay, I knew we were having a girl. You could have told me that we were having a boy, but I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew Shaylin Grace was going to be Shaylin Grace. And guess what? She's Shaylin Grace. So the word says that he gives these to us as he wills. It's not as Tim wills. Because if it was as Tim wills, I'd say, Lord, just hit me with every single one of them all the time. But the Bible says that I am to steward what he has given to me, what he has placed in my life. I need to steward that well. I need to practice using what God has placed in me. Does that make sense? So look down here at verse 28. Verse 28 goes on to say, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Can I just tell you right now, I am usually very envious of people who have the gift of administration, because I was not in the administration line handout when God was passing out those gifts. Some of you guys who know me are like, yeah, that's the truth. I'll just stick to preaching and loving people, and I'll be very thankful for the people who are administrative that God puts in my life. So here's another list that God gives us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to take a look at this as well. And can I just mention, as we're in this series, I just want to encourage you. If you don't have your Bible, bring your Bible with you. I know we put a lot of scriptures up on the screen, but we're talking about practicing, making permanent. There's oftentimes places I can go right to my Bible because I've been there 100 times, and I know just right where to go. My Bible just flips open to it because I've been there so many times. So I want to encourage you, bring your Word, bring your iPad or mobile device to be in the Word together. Ephesians chapter 4 reads this way, and he says, and he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds or pastors and teachers to equip the saints. Everybody say the saints. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. See, God never intended for apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, pastors, and teachers to do all the work. God said, okay, right from the beginning, he said, I've put you here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Why? Because we are all in this together. I can do okay by myself, but I can sure do a whole lot better when there's more of us together. We can do okay by ourselves, but when we link arms and partner together, we're a lot more formidable against the enemy when we're just trying to come at him head on. Remember, we were looking a few months ago, looking at the armor of God, that sound when we are marching together in unity. That's what the enemy hears when we are marching together in unity, because we are why we're being equipped to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. And it's not to just build us up for when we come into this place and celebrate and have a great worship service. It's to equip us so when we hit the street, when we get out to school, when we get out to work, when we get out in life, we've been equipped because we came here today. We haven't been touched, what we're being transformed, so we can then be transformational where we are at. That is the point. That is why God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we can do this together. What an amazing and wonderful gift that God has given us. See, let me tell you a quick story here. I shared this last service. I want to mention this as well. It's one thing to look at these lists, and they're not just lists for the sake of being lists, but it's to help us identify and say, God, what have you put inside of me? Like I said earlier, some of you may know what God has put inside of you. Some of you are like, you know, I don't know, but I'd kind of like to find out and see why I kind of act this way, why I do these things. That's why we're taking time, so we can be equipped. I was, JJ and I were on staff at a church out west, and there was a class the church was offering, and the class was how to hear God's voice. Who doesn't want to hear God's voice? So I'm like, I am there. And so we were sitting in the class, and it was, you know, several weeks. And as I'm sitting in the class, we would get to the end of each of the classes, and there was what's called an activation, where we would put into practice what we just learned in the class, because practice makes permanent. And so we would practice, and so we get to the end of the class, and my friend who was leading the class said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. He said, if you've got your prayer language, we're going to pray in the Spirit. Then we're going to stop, and then we're going to listen for what the Lord might be saying, and we're just going to share an encouraging word with the person on either our left or our right. So I'm like, oh, great, we can do this. I've got JJ sitting on my left, and my pastor is sitting on my right. Then my friend says this. He says, but when we go to pray and share with somebody, don't share with your spouse. I want you to share with somebody that you didn't come with or that you normally wouldn't share. So I'm thinking, oh man, this just went from okay to where I'm kind of like, you know, kind of stressing out some, because my pastor is the person that I had to turn to, and now I'm praying and I'm like, okay, I want to share something that's encouraging with my pastor. Thanks, Lord, no pressure. So when my friend says, okay, let's pray, so I start praying and I'm praying and I'm praying, and inside I'm saying, oh dear Lord, please give me a good word, because I'm thinking my pastor's going to look at me and he's going to say, that's a right on word, or he's going to say, Tim, you're full of beans. That's not from the Lord. You had bad pizza last night. And so I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I want to give pastor a good word. So my friend says, okay, stop. Now turn to the person next to you and share what God gave you. So my heart is racing. All the Lord gave me was one word to share with my pastor. Ready for the word he gave me? Are you curious? Bob. That was it. And I'm in my mind going, Lord, really? Bob? That's it? Bob? How is that encouraging? What does that mean? So I'm pastor's holding my hands, I'm holding his hands, and our eyes are locked, right? So I said, Pastor, he says, Tim, why don't you go first? I says, okay. And so I'm standing there, like I said, Pastor, the word that Lord gave me is Bob. And as soon as I said Bob, the Lord filled in the rest with a word of knowledge. And what I began to say was, when you were a young boy, you had a friend whose name was Bob, and something happened with a relationship, and it just and it went sideways, and you've had a hard time getting over this since you were a young boy. And I said, does that make any sense? As I'm telling him this, his eyes well up with tears, and he starts to cry. And I'm thinking, okay, either I've just knocked it out of the park or I'm getting fired. And Pastor says, Tim, when I was 12 years old, my best friend's name was Robbie. And I don't recall what he said happened. He said, but there was a breach in our relationship. He said, and for years I had a hard time making friends that would last and having significant relationships with other people. And when he finished saying that, through his tears, I said, "Pastor, God wants to heal that in your life today. Can I please pray with you?" And he said, "Yes." And I got to pray with my pastor, and I got to see God do something in his life, because I just listened to the Lord, and God said, "Bob." And that was it. See, I'm not certain what God wants to do in your life. You might not even be certain what God wants to do in your life. But can I tell you this? God wants to work in your life. He wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. Greg, go ahead and come on up. We're going to bring this to a close. Last week, you heard JJ and I mentioned that after we dropped Jackson off, we went to our Fall Leaders Conference in Niagara Falls. One of the speakers, he was making an excellent point. And as we were talking about the power of God, he was actually talking about when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And the phrase that he said was, it was on the heels of where Jesus says, you know, where the devil tells Jesus, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You're hungry. Feed yourself. And the point he made was, he said, God wants to give us power. He does. God wants to give us power, but then he said this. He said, but God does not want to give you control. God controls what happens, because I'm not the one who could think of Bob all by myself. I had to say, Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want to do? How do you want to flow through me? How do you want to help me practice? So when I know when you speak to me, I know it's you speaking to me, and I know it's not what I had for dinner last night. Right? He went on to say this. He said, God, the way he said it is great. He says, God is crazy excited to give you all the power of heaven. He said, but you're not going to get any credit for it. We don't want the credit for it. Look what it got the devil. It got him kicked right out of heaven. See, the Holy Spirit lives inside each and every single one of us to point people to Jesus. Wherever you are at, whatever you're doing, whatever is happening, whatever life may throw at you, whatever hard things you walk through, or whatever great things that we celebrate, the Holy Spirit wants to flow through you. He has put gifts inside of us that help make us superpowered, because we are powered by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's nothing in Tim Versalona that'll last. I can try, but it'll last only so long. If I've got the Holy Spirit empowering what I'm doing, if we have the Lord empowering what we're doing, that's a game changer. The world becomes different. Jesus is Lord, and transformation happens in people's lives. So over the next several weeks, we're going to do more than just look at lists of spiritual gifts. What we're going to do is we're going to do some practicing. Tell the person next to you, this is a safe place to practice. Go ahead, tell them. This is a safe place to practice. Go ahead. Some of you guys didn't say it. Go ahead. This is a safe place to practice. This is a safe place to practice. Why? Because we're the family of God. If we can't try and fail here, then we sure won't try in the world. You might be saying, well, Pastor, that's easy for you. You know, you're an extrovert and you're sanguine and, you know, you like to talk to people, and I'm kind of a closet person to myself, and I don't. You know what? It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. God just wants to flow through us. And if we're willing to say, Lord, just use me, he will. And it's exciting. So over the next several weeks, what we're going to do is, when we come to the time where we come to the end of our services, we're going to take a minute, we're going to pray, we're going to listen to what the Lord is saying, and then we're going to minister to each other. How's that sound? Anybody nervous? Anybody's heart going like this a little bit? Because I know how it feels if it is. But part of what we do is we come here, like I said, not just to hear a message, not just to have good worship, but to come in and get transformed, so when we leave, we can be transformers because of the Lord living in our lives. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to take just a few more minutes together. And what we're going to do is this. We're going to do this activation. Everybody say activation. So we're about to get activated. So what I want to do is, we're going to take a minute and pray. If you've received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I want you to take a few minutes, pray in the Spirit. If you haven't, say, Lord, fill me up to overflowing. And just He might just hit you right where you're at, which is totally great. If you haven't, just thank the Lord. Just begin to pray. God, speak to me. I want you to use through me. I want you to flow through me. God, I want you to do whatever you want to do in my life. I want to partner with you. Whatever that sounds like. Not so loud that it drowns out everybody else, but loud enough that you can hear yourself saying the words. Okay? And then we'll go silent, and then I want you to share with someone that you didn't come with, maybe somebody that you don't know, because sometimes it's easier, honestly, sometimes it's easier to minister to somebody that you don't know. And then I want you to say something that sounds like this. We're not going to say, the Lord says to you, my son. We're not going to do that today. Here's what I'd like us to do, because we're just dipping our toe in the pool. I'd like you to say, what I feel I hear the Lord saying is this. It might just be a word. It might be a simple phrase. It doesn't have to be a whole paragraph. It doesn't have to be an essay. But share something that says, this is what I feel like I hear the Lord saying. This is what I'm sensing from the Lord. He might show you a picture, and you share the picture with the person that you're praying with and ministering to. But we're going to start practicing, because God wants us to be a house full of power. Amen. So let's take a moment and pray. I want to ask you, would you close your eyes, bow your heads with me before we pray and minister to each other? I want to ask a simple question. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you do me the amazing honor of letting me pray with you to invite you into the kingdom of God? If you'd like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor Tim. I want to make Jesus my Lord today. Thank you. For somebody else, you'd say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior today. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask, would you just pray this simple prayer with me? Let's lift our voices together and say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give you my life. I give you all my past, all my failures, and all my successes. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness now as you come into my life and you wash me and make me new. From this day forward, I will live all my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, I just want to ask, would you just take a moment, begin to just pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Begin to just call on the Lord. Begin to, like I said a moment ago, if you've received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, begin to just speak in that language to the Lord now. If you haven't, ask the Lord to fill you overflowing, and He will. Thank you, Jesus. And then we'll take a moment, then we'll pray with each other. Thank you, Lord. Stop and just listen for just a moment. The Lord may have already put in your heart what to share. He may have already put in your heart who to share it with. So go ahead and take a moment and turn to that person next to you, on either side of you, and when you begin to just share right now, whether it's a word, whether it's a picture, something that is encouraging to that person that you're praying for. And then we'll come to conclusion in just a few moments. Thank you. take just a few more seconds, and then we'll draw to a conclusion. Thank you, Lord. So let me ask by a show of hands as we're wrapping things up, let me ask if somebody shared something with you and it brought encouragement to you, would you just put your hand up? It brought encouragement to you. Something that somebody shared with you that brought encouragement. Good. That's good. Because God wants to speak encouragement over our lives. Well, it's been a good day, amen. Would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing today? Now, Lord, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for my friends. Lord, I thank you that you are speaking to us. Lord, I thank you that you go before us, that you surround us. And Lord, as we go from this place, I thank you for your promise and your word that tells us that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath, that we are blessed and not cursed. And whatever we set our hands to will prosper in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you shout amen today? Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have an awesome, super-powered week. We'll see you next Sunday. I love you.